On this episode, I'm honoured to be joined by a current England international Champions League winner and a man who captained Liverpool to their first league title in 30 years, the one and only Jordan Henderson.
Jordan, thanks for chatting to us, mate.
No worries.
What was life like growing up for Jordan Henderson in Sunderland? Was you a football mad kid?
Yeah. Football mad. Football mad city, really, you know, very passionate, similar to Liverpool in that sense. Just loved football, went to work during the week and just wanted to go and support the team on a weekend, and that was what it was for me. I always had a ball at my feet, always playing football, and that's all I ever wanted to do, yeah.
Your dad, Brian, was an amateur footballer. Did he have a big influence on you growing up?
Yeah, definitely. I know he played a little bit in the police force, and yeah, took us to training, took us to games and things like that. So definitely had a big influence on us when I was growing up.
We'll talk about this later, but it was a lovely moment you had at the Champions League final with your dad. When you had it, did you bring him on the pitch, or there's a lovely pitch?
Yeah, he managed to get down. He managed to get down somehow to pitch side, and I seen him when we were looking for the families. I seen him pretty early on, so that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like you have a great relationship. I mean, so Sunderland were your boyhood club. You went in there at 8 years of age. You worked all the way up to the first team. And Roy, I think Roy Keane was a manager. Did he sign you as a youth team player? Was there any incidents with Roy? Because I know he can be a bit volatile, can't he?
One or two, probably. Yeah. He probably gave me the kick up the backside once or twice. But it was good for me, you know, someone who I looked up to massively as a player anyway. Massive respect for him, but I think a lot of us were scared of him, especially the young lads coming through. But no, he was brilliant for me and gave us my debut, for Sunderland, and was the first person really to probably see something in us that other people hadn't, and give us my chance.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a work with him in the studio, and he's always singing your praises and talked about you as a young man. I think he probably sees a lot of himself in you, the way he plays. It must have been great having someone like that as a midfielder. You must have been picking his brains as a young lad.
No, definitely. Like I said, he used to train sometimes with us in training, and he was still amazing. Just the way he'd play forward all the time, his touch.
Yeah.
You could just see, even though he hadn't played for a bit, he still had it, and he was running training sessions at times.
Yeah.
So, no, I was definitely looking up to him and trying to take everything that he'd said in and what he wanted, and just try to give everything every time I trained.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely like you as a... Did you make your first team debut against Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. Premier League, yeah. At Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, 5-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 3-0 down at half-time.
Come on.
And then Roy said, get ready, you're on at half-time, and then we ended up losing 5.
Who was in the midfield that day for Chelsea?
To be fair, I come on right wing.
Did you?
Yeah, so I think I was against Ashley Cole.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
So I had my work cut out a little bit, but I was just buzzing to be, make my debut against these world-class players on the pitch, just everywhere. And to be playing against Ashley Cole and things was huge for me, and in a funny way, give us a bit of confidence to know that I can, get there and maybe, get there and play regularly.
I made my league debut against Man United in '99, the team that won the treble.
Yeah.
Made my debut, same thing, 2-0 down up at Old Trafford, and you're coming on, it's like Yapstam, Giggs, Scholes, Beckham, York, Cole, and it's just it's almost as if sink or swim in it, you might as well go in against the best. And you know, if you can handle it, and it gives you a bit of confidence. We went on and got beat 4, I think it was 4-1. I think Frank scored for us. And it's an amazing day as a youngster, and especially for your boyhood club.
Oh, huge, huge. It was a really special day.
Yeah. Like
you say, you're disappointed with the result and everything, but to get your debut against such a good team, and you're thrown in at the deep end, really.
Yeah.
So it was a big moment for us as a kid, and then from then on, I feel as though it helped us go forward.
Yeah. You had a good loan spell at Coventry as well, Jordan. How was that for your development?
Brilliant. Really good.
Yeah.
Chris Coleman was the manager at the time, who was brilliant for us, perfect, and really helped us settle in. You know, we had some good players, good senior players that helped us settle in. Like Scott Dan was there, who was really good for us. Leon Best, Danny Fox, Aaron Gunnison. You know, Clinton was there, Clinton Morrison. Yeah. So we had a lot of senior players that helped us a lot when I was there. And it was a really good spell, even though it was only for a few months. I ended up breaking a metatarsal in my foot after a few months. But we played, we got to the knockout, I think quarters of FA Cup and played Chelsea.
Yes.
At the Rego, ended up losing 2-0. But again, it was a good game, big game to play. So really good spell there and enjoyed it,
I mean, you see, you made a handful of games at Coventry before you come home, then Sunderland, you're kicking on, you're playing on the right. Did you always know you was going to end up central? Because you signed, didn't you sign for Liverpool? You've been playing a lot on the right. Because I remember them, you wasn't a different type of player, but you was, I remember you drinking past players and whipping in crosses all the time for Sunderland.
Yeah, I did play a lot more on the right. It's definitely in my early days. I don't know, I had a lot of energy, you know, I could run all day and up and down, and I like to come inside as well and sort of play one-twos and stuff. So I was a different type of right winger when I played there. But I enjoyed it, you know, and I had ability to be able to cross and things and get forward as well. So that worked well. But I always knew that I wanted to play more central, especially when Steve Bruce was manager. He plays more central at times and I enjoyed that. And that's where I felt at home, really, and really could sort of impact games more.
Yeah. And then Liverpool comes calling. You know, what was that like? That, because although when you came to Liverpool, the club was in a transitional period. But what was that like when you got the phone call saying Liverpool put a bid in for you? Was it a no-brainer? Was there other options, or was it?
There was a couple of
through your dad, or
There was a couple of options that were floating about, but nothing set in stone in terms of bid. Right. Liverpool was the first one to make the bid, and then that gives me confidence straight away that the Liverpool one is, you know, obviously the players that were there at the time, Kenny was manager, and who I spoke to and had a big influence. So huge club, amazing players still playing there, and that was a good opportunity for me to go and learn and improve and try and be better and learn from the best players there.
Do you know what, like, because obviously I was there at the time, it was very different stages of career. You was a young man coming in, you know, with hindsight really, that was the sort of the beginning of the end for me in my career. But I remember you coming in with Charlie Adam, Big Andy, it was that January, wasn't it? And the thing, you might not even remember it, but I remember what struck me about you, we was training at Melwood, young lad, you was full of energy, full of enthusiasm. And Charlie done something you didn't like on the pitch. He didn't give you the ball, and you absolutely went for him. Like, and it was like you berated him about something. I thought, that young lad's got some balls there, you know, because Charlie was at the time, he was a bit older than you were, and he was sort of like expected to come in and start straight away. And I thought, I like that. And I thought, well, that's some character there. And I think that's something you needed at the start of your Liverpool career. Like you said, you come in, Steven Gerrard's still there. It was a difficult time for the club, you know, trying to, but your character through them early years, talk to me about that, because it's something you're renowned for now as a leader, but it's something that I think people don't realise how your first few years weren't like they are now. You were digging in, weren't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. Really, the first few years were really tough, you know, coming to a big club like Liverpool, moving away, and you don't realise how big Liverpool Football Club is until you actually are in it. And the expectation level. And in my first year, I still played quite a lot of games, actually. Yeah. I was playing a lot and playing a lot, but probably wasn't performing to the level that I felt I could and what people expected. So it was tough and it was challenging, definitely, in the first year or two at the club. But, you know, I would never take that pain away. I needed that, really. Yeah. It made us stronger. It made us who I am now, you know, to get through that, to go through that stage, it was tough, but when you do come through it, you're a lot stronger for it, so I would never take that away.
Yeah, I mean, again, I remember you was performing, but it was one of them where it was like the team was never properly at it like it was now, where everyone was finding their feet. But yeah, you're right, the resilience you showed in that first, because wasn't there a moment at that time, I think you've been documenting and saying that there was it when Brendan come into the club and he wasn't sure whether he wanted you to stay. And you must have thought to yourself, that's a bold decision you've made. You said, no, I backed yourself. I'm going to stay here and become a player at Liverpool. I mean, how was that decision to make? Did you have to?
Yeah, it wasn't really a tough decision for me, but it hurt us hearing from the new manager when Brendan came in that, you know, it was a possibility that the club would do and wanted to do because they wanted to bring Dempsey in at the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really difficult for me because I didn't want to go. You know, I'd only been there a year, you know, I'd sacrificed a lot and give everything to get to Liverpool. So I still had 4 years left on my contract and I felt as though I had a lot more to give. Mm. So it was an easy no from me. But to be fair to Brendan, from that point he was really good with us and helped us tactically and helped us develop my game in a different way that I'd probably never had before.
Yeah. I mean he's a unique coach. I mean, even coming from Chelsea, then I come back from France and I thought, Brendan's here, I'll give it another try. Like he wanted me to stay. And the player that I saw come back, you'd gone on levels. Even I could see that in training. I was like, you know, I left you and you was a promising young player. And I thought the player that I saw in pre-season then was then the player, starting to become the player we see now, this barnstorming midfielder, this leader. I mean, how much did Brendan part of that for you?
Definitely. He was massive in terms of my development as a player. And made us look at the game in a different way. You know, I'd been playing off the cuff a lot, you know, at Sunderland and the way that we played. I was doing things naturally and just going out and playing football and enjoying it. Similar when my first year at Liverpool, you know, it was a bit like just go and play, you know, and do what you do, like, do what you're good at sort of thing. Yeah. So when Brendan come in, it was a little bit different and it was a lot more detailed and what he wanted, and it made us think about football differently in the way my positioning was and how I played. So in my development, Brendan was huge at that time. And when I look back, I was just lucky enough to have the managers that I've had at certain times. You know, I was lucky that I was only probably 21, 22 at the time when Brendan came in. So I was a young player and I could develop over the next few years under him.
Yeah.
And then obviously when Jurgen come in, I was still young enough to learn and adapt then again. So I've been lucky in terms of my timings when I've got certain managers.
Yeah. And another thing that we'd like to talk about, you had Roy Keane as a manager and you're now playing alongside another great at the game, Steven Gerrard. How important was Stevie in terms of, you know, he's quiet, Stevie, isn't he? But did he give you little pearls of wisdom every now and then? Did he help you with your game?
I felt Stevie did help. Yeah. In certain ways, you know, he'd see one or two things and he knew that obviously I looked up to him as a player.
Yeah.
I think I said it in the press anyway. Yeah, yeah. So I think he knew that I looked up to him as a player, as a young player when I was younger and looking at him, you know, Gerrard was incredible. So I'd sort of watch him and try and learn how he was like on the training pitch, around like in the gym and stuff, things like that. I'd definitely be learning from him all the time and he would say one or two things to us that would sort of give us a bit of encouragement, you know. And in the end, I felt Stevie was another one who stuck by us when things probably wasn't going too well. I felt as though he still had the confidence in us as a person and as a player. And that gave me a massive boost as well.
It's important that when, you know, the people that are standing next to you when it ain't going well, you know, and then you go on, become Liverpool captain. Do you understand now, looking back, now you've experienced the pressure of captain in this club, like how it must have been for Stevie as a local lad as well?
Yeah. You don't even think about that, you know, when I'm coming through, you don't really think. You think like Stevie just goes out and plays and does what he does and he's got no worries, you know, he's one of the best players in the world, whatever. But like, obviously now that I've lived being captain of the club, like I can only imagine what it was like for him, you know, a local lad, the pressure that he must have been under coming through when he first was given the captaincy and how then he dealt with it in years later. So, yeah, incredible, really. Even now when I think about it, what he must have gone through and the turmoil of being a local lad and how much it meant to him.
Yeah.
Because it's the same for me, you know, I wasn't not from Liverpool, but it means everything.
Yeah.
You know, it means absolutely everything. I go home, have a bad game, it'll constantly be on my mind all the time and things like that. So football means everything to us and I definitely can relate to him in that way.
Yeah, I can see the same things. I think with Stevie, he's so humble to the thought. I remember chatting to him before when I was at Chelsea, he was at Liverpool and he was he said, I'm not sure Rafa Benitez is having me. I said to him, like, geez, have you looked in the mirror? Like, do you know you're Steven Gerrard? There's no manager that cannot have you. But he was so humble. Yeah. You know, you seem to take that. I'm like, see, after everything, all that you've achieved, you've still got that drive to push on. I mean, when was that moment like when you first got given the captain's armband at Liverpool? That must have been a proud moment for you.
Yeah, again, it was an amazing moment. I think it helped us before that. I was vice captain for Stevie. Brendan made his vice captain the year before, which helped us because when Stevie wasn't playing or if he was injured or whatever, then I'd be captain. And that would help us sort of just get into it a little bit. But then obviously when I was given the captaincy full time, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, I tried not to make it a big thing, but I knew from the outside it was a big thing.
Massive one.
And I knew people, at the beginning I'd probably say I felt a little bit, embarrassed a little bit because it was Stevie. And I knew how people would then perceive me to be like, try and compare us with him. So I knew it was not going to be perceived well at the beginning, but I still felt as though I had leadership qualities to lead the team in a different way to what Stevie did. And just try to be, you know, give everything and be there for the lads. I'm quite close to the lads anyway, and I didn't want to change that. So I felt as though I could try and help them, you know, be better and improve and create an environment that was a together environment and a successful one going forward. And I feel as though I could add real value in that. And that's what I dove into.
BT Sport Pods. I think when people watch you play, in a world where footballers are always, listen, all of us are egocentric to some degree, but it's so many footballers are their own brand and their own thing. I think people, when they look at you and they say, how you captain England, how you captain Liverpool, you just give yourself to the team. It really comes across, and that's an amazing skill to have. So the Brendan Rodgers, that era comes to an end, and you got inches away from winning for your first Premier League, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, now, what was that like? Because we all thought you from the outside, this was the year for Liverpool.
Yeah, it was looking that way right until the last couple of games. You know, it was an incredible season. I don't think anybody expected us that year to do what we did. But everything seemed to sort of be lining up.
Yeah.
You know, even for Stevie, you know, winning his first Premier, just everything seemed right in that time. And then unfortunately come crashing down pretty quickly against Chelsea and then Palace. So it was a tough end to an incredible season, but I still loved every second of that season, and I look back, it was an amazing season, you know, to be involved in. Every time I stepped foot on the pitch, I felt so confident, and had the Coutinho, Sterling, Suarez, Stevie, you know, around, you know,
it was just like,
you just felt so confident going out and playing games. It was an incredible feeling. So I loved every minute of that season. And unfortunately, yes, it didn't end the way we wanted to, but it was definitely a season I look back on and think I have good memories of.
Do you know what? Here's a question Liverpool fans probably would want me to ask. Do you think that team could live with this team?
I've been asked that a few times before. Yeah. I never like comparing, to be fair. Yeah. I never like comparing teams.
Yeah.
Louis, for me, is like, incredible.
He's a genius.
He was amazing. And like I said, I'm lucky enough to play with these players at certain times in my career, which have helped me massively. So I could never compare, to be fair. But at the end of the day, if I look at the team now and what we've achieved and the success that we've achieved over the past few years, I suppose you can't argue with that.
No, you can't argue with winning the team. So that takes us on nicely to Jurgen Klopp coming in. And no one really, he's big personality, no one knew much about him. What was your first impressions as he came through the door?
I was excited for him coming in, just because I'd watched Dortmund quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I loved Dortmund. Loved the way they played, you know, the energy. And they didn't really have maybe superstars yet in that team. I think he made them superstars in the end. But, you know, I was looking at Gundogan and Royce and players like that, and just the way they played, it was incredible. I remember going to the Bernabeu and watching them play in the Champions League semi-final, which they ended up winning or drawing and getting through to the final and beating Madrid. And they were just incredible, I can remember. So then when I hear that he's coming, I'm excited because I know what type of football, and I feel as though that suited the way that I played. You know, the energy, the high press, the really intense football sort of. I loved all that, so I was excited in one part. The other part of us was disappointed because I was injured, so I couldn't get straight into it. You know, I had an injury in my foot that I didn't know how long I was going to be out for. So that was quite difficult, you know, a transition of new manager coming in, club captain, but not fit and not being able to play games. And actually, I don't know when I'm going to be fit. So that was a pretty tough time going through that. And I just tried to learn as much as possible around and hearing and watching things and watching training now and again when I could. So that when I came back into training and playing games, I was ready and sort of had an understanding of what he wanted.
Well, you came back with a bang, and he's arguably put together one of the most exciting Premier League teams I've ever seen. You know, like you said about the high energy, and it all culminated with the Premier League title win. But we need to put that some context on that season, because that was the year with COVID. You were going great guns, weren't you? And then the league stopped. The world was going crazy, you must have been thinking, no, because everyone was saying, Liverpool been waiting God knows how many years, and now COVID's going to stop them winning the title. So, but you was outstanding, that team. You brought in the great players that you brought in. And then how was that moment when it sort of the season come to a grinding halt, which was when you was by far the best team leading up to that?
It was difficult.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, we've been waiting for so long, and football is a huge part of our life, and that's all we're looking to do, and we're so close to being able to get over the line for the Premier League title, and then it stops. But then there was a part of us I felt a little bit guilty for feeling like that, because, you know, there's much bigger things in the world going on. You know, people are dying. It was a huge thing, and you know, it was like something off a movie. There was no one on the street. You had to stay in the house. So everything was shut. It was just like, it was crazy, really, when you think about it. So I felt a little bit guilty for thinking, like, well, what about like Liverpool and what, do you know? I couldn't, even though we're thinking that, you know, it was hard because you were sort of fighting, going, well, hang on a second, because there's a lot more important things than football going on here. So, you know, when you put things into perspective and you're seeing things on the telly and what was going on, it wasn't that difficult really to think, actually, you know, it's not life and death what we're doing. But of course, when things started getting better, then we wanted to hopefully be able to finish what we'd started that season, definitely.
It's normal to think like that. You're a competitor, you're in that environment. But you've really stepped up during the pandemic. It's Jordan Henderson, MBE now. The work you've done for the charity, bringing the captains together. I mean, what compelled you to do that, Jordan? Because you really stepped up and looked like, you know, like, if anyone had any doubts about you as a leader then, I mean, after that, what is it? Is that your upbringing? Is it like, it's just something that's inside you, felt you needed to do something, get the Premier together? Because it was incredible what you did.
I think, you know, it was a tough period for everyone in football, and I think a lot of people look up to footballers. You know, football's massive in England, and a lot of people look up to us as role models. And I knew a few players wanted to do things anyway that I'd spoke to, but didn't quite know what to do. And so we had some conversations, spoke to the captains on Zoom call and stuff. And to be fair, they were all incredible. You know, really, really brilliant, and all thought, definitely should do something together. And from that point then, we dove into that and tried to get everything set up. Mm. It was pretty intense and tough. Yeah. You know, I just had another baby as well at the time. Yeah. I had a little boy, so Mrs. wasn't too happy when I was on the phone for 6 hours a day. But
mate, during the pandemic, it was 6 hours on the phone was a joy without the kids in the house, trust me.
So I was upstairs, locked away for 6 hours on the phone trying to sort things out. But all the captains, all my teammates at Liverpool were amazing in that situation. Yeah, I know people, I'll see it, like, look at me as that, but really, I could never have done it without all of them people and captains across the league, and even women's football and leaders within women as well were brilliant. So, it was just a really nice thing to do, and something that I think we're all very proud of in the end of what we did.
No, and rightly so, you should be proud of it. And talk about being proud. to win the title back, because this, you know, I know it was behind closed doors. I was doing the, I don't know, you probably won't remember, but I was doing the game for BT Sport, and we phoned into you and Kenny and a few of the lads who were celebrating it in Formby, and it just looked like an incredible party, an incredible relief for the city, because the Premier League was the one they wanted to get their hands on, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So long, with 30 years, wasn't it? So they were waiting so long. Mm. It was amazing to get over the line, yeah, and end up having it, but also it was hard not, yeah, being able to sort, yeah, of share, yeah, it with them.
Yeah,
you know, because,
yeah,
because the fans, you know, the fans, yeah, at this club mean everything.
Yeah,
you know, the fans are a huge part of the football club. So to do that and not being able to share, yeah, with them was pretty tough, you know. But I think we're both, you know, people were celebrating at home. We were celebrating, yeah, at Formby because we're in our bubble and stuff. So
yeah,
we certainly celebrated. I'm sure it was just unfortunate that it had to happen, yeah, when we couldn't be together.
I'm sure they wouldn't change it for
no,
title,
they definitely
they,
wouldn't.
That was,
no,
so important for them. Jordan, Champions League, this club's built on its Champions League success, and you're playing against another English club. I was on the wrong end of that result in 2008, so how did it feel, you know? And how was the game like? Because you went up early. I mean, what was your experience of the game?
We went up early, which was strange, really, in, yeah, the final, I suppose.
Such a big game.
I think once we did that, we sort of reacted a little bit, yeah, like sort of dropped off a little bit deeper, yeah, than what we normally do. We weren't counter pressing and pressing higher up the pitch, so it wasn't what we wanted to do. It wasn't, yeah, our game, yeah, plan. But actually, in the end, I felt as though we were defending in a lower block and we're, yeah, pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't, yeah, really give them too many chances. We managed the game really well. I always felt that on the break we could probably score a second with the forwards that we had. So in the game, I can remember feeling like, yeah, we had to defend and we had to move and shut, but actually we were quite comfortable in that block. And then the end, you know, we get another goal with Divock with a great finish, and 2-0, managed the game, yeah, pretty good. So in terms of game management in a final, I don't think, yeah, it gets much better, to be fair.
No, you was cruising. Talk to me about the emotions of winning it from like all your journey previously at Liverpool. Like you said, stepping into Stevie G's boots, captaining the club, everything you've gone through, and then you lifting up the big one. I mean, talk to me about that.
It's so difficult to sort of put that into words, yeah, when that final whistle goes. Everything since I was a kid, you know, dreamed of playing in the Champions League final. Everything that I've been through in my career, everything you sacrifice and do and sort of go through,
yeah,
to get to that point, to then win it was an incredible moment, yeah, really, and one, yeah, that I'll never forget, and probably took us weeks to get over,
yeah,
fully, you know, and get, yeah, my head around things.
Yeah.
I was just the shell after the game.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think, you know, Champions League final, you'd be partying all night and,
yeah,
be great, but yeah, I was gone.
Emotionally drained,
just,
yeah,
emotionally, physically, everything just, yeah, gone. Just because, well, I think it was the build-up of everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Losing the final the previous, was it the previous year,
yeah,
or 2 years before?
Previous year, yeah.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And having all of that pressure on you, yeah, great. And like I said, there's pictures, I've seen them with you and your dad and that. I mean, he would have been on the journey with you right away from that little eight-year-old kid in Sunderland, and now he's watching his boy lift a trophy. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, amazing to see him so, yeah, close after the game, definitely.
Yeah.
Very, very emotional, you know, he'd been through a lot that few years leading up to it.
Mm.
And yeah, himself, his family, you know,
yeah,
he lost his brother, his sister, his mum, yeah, in a short space of time, you know, and a really, really tough time for him.
Mm.
Obviously going through what his cancer as well, yeah, and everything. So loads of different things,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
not just,
yeah,
football and everything, yeah, he'd done for me. There was a load of different things at that moment in time that made that moment even more,
yeah,
special.
That's an amazing moment, mate. I can't leave you without talking about England and the Euros. I was like a big kid watching this. I was supposed to be working, but it was so exciting, you know what I mean? Being a London lad, you know, it's, you're so close to Wembley. I used to go and watch England. Do you know what I mean? I used to get on the train and go and watch England. So it's always been about England with me. And then obviously we finished in three quarterfinals, never quite got there. And then suddenly your team come along with Gareth, who I played with. And you just, like the Liverpool team, you just were taking teams apart. I was watching it and just, you know, so much pride. The semi-final afterwards, I went with my family, it wasn't working, and I loved it. But just how was that tournament for you? Did it go by and like it did for us, like just like a, in the second, or was it?
No, it was a, it was definitely an amazing experience. Yeah. It was incredible, really, especially with it being a bit of a home tournament. You know, the games at Wembley and the build-up around it and stuff was really special. For me personally, it was a little bit more difficult because I was going into the tournament off the back of an injury. And I wasn't right, really. Looking back, I kept telling myself I was at the time. But looking back, I wasn't 100%, and I needed to get further like stuff done after the Euros. But I was adamant I wanted to go. And I knew it would be a big Euros. I knew I had a good opportunity, so I wanted to go. And I still feel as though I played my part in certain games. You know, coming on and
scored,
I ended up scoring. I ended up getting a goal and stuff, and coming on in other games, Denmark being one, when we managed to win that game. So. No, it was definitely a really brilliant experience, and I feel as though it sort of made the country fall back in love with the England team again.
Without doubt, made the country fall back in love. And, you know, we're talking about the World Cup coming up. I mean, from my perspective, I don't know what you think, but having the tournament in December, I don't like it as a fan, but as a player who you played Premier League seasons, knowing how hard it is, surely that gives us a little advantage that you're going to go in there fresh.
I hope so. You know, I hope so, because you're right, the intensity of the Premier League and Champions League all season, and then to have a few weeks and go again into the World Cup can be tough. So, yeah, hopefully I'd like to think that we can all be in a good shape going there and be raring to go in a big tournament again. It'll be difficult. It'll be difficult, and of course, the last camp wasn't really what we wanted. But to be honest, again, if you look back at the season, the amount of games a lot of the lads played, I think it was they just looked so tired, you know. And I think, you know, they need to have a break, have this next few months going into the season, and I'm sure come November that they'll be ready to go.
Did you think? I mean, I thought the criticism was unjust, like you said. So I was doing the games and I was like, it's not a crisis, is it? It's a little blip. A lot of players injured. You wasn't there. A lot of the senior players weren't playing a minute. So I think it's a case of just getting back on the horse. In September, the games are. And I'll be out there. I'm buzzing for it. Do you know what I mean? So do it again for us, please, and get the
Fingers
job done
crossed.
This time. Before we let you go, mate, we need to talk about last season's heroics. I mean, you was on for a just unprecedented quadruple. You won two major trophies, played some of the best football we've seen. I mean, how was that for you last season? Was there any moment when you thought it was on? Because I genuinely thought it was going to happen. Because I watched you about 7 or 8 times and I couldn't see a team beating you towards the end of the season. It's incredible performances you put in.
Yeah, the consistency levels were through the roof, really, you know, throughout the season. And to go so close in all four was incredible. I don't think there was another. I don't think there's another team that's done it. And that just shows how hard it is to be able to get that close. You know, obviously the Premier League, we knew it was going to be difficult, but we give it everything. I think we went on a really good run from January and made some ground back. But in the end, probably just wasn't enough with City pipping us. And then obviously the Champions League final didn't go our way as well. So that just shows how quickly football can change. You can't get too carried away when things are going well. At the same time, you can't get too low when they're not. So I try to keep an even balance. Yeah, two went our way. You know, we won both of them on penalties. And the other two didn't, and that's just the way it goes, you know. But in terms of performance level, we can still get better, we can still improve, and hopefully if we continue on that path, we can win more than we lose.
For sure. What do you think, have you had any feelings and thoughts on the Champions League final? Again, I was at the game, and it was a strange one, wasn't it?
It was like a strange one.
I didn't even know how to to break it down. You know, you still had enough chances to win the game, didn't you?
It was a strange one. Like from the beginning, you know, how the game got delayed, you know, the issues with the fans.
Yeah.
I just felt the whole atmosphere was strange for a Champions League final.
I'd been
involved in two before, and it was like electric, and it was.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it wasn't like that, you know. So it was strange from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think you think that when you're warming up, when you're playing, you delay a kick.
You don't know
what's going on, but you're just feeling. And then in the game, actually, you know, I think probably didn't perform to the levels that we're capable of for sure, but. Certainly done enough to win the game for me.
Yeah.
Creating the chances that were created, didn't give them too much away, to be honest. You know, defended. They scored a goal which was tough to defend, you know, sort of a cross shot. And then.
Yeah.
So it was a strange game. Yeah. Courtois making six
was World unbelievable.
Cup. Amazing.
Unbelievable.
You know, so on another day, you know, you probably score three or four goals and you come away with a win, but that's how it can go sometimes. And if you're not. We weren't 100% at it, and if you're not 100% at it, then you know you leave yourself open to lose.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'll go back to the Premier League as well. You know, you've won it once. Man City just seem to have that something on you. Is that what drives you on, Jordan? Still, you know, trying to claw them that second places, where it's for like last season goal difference or something. Is that what drives you on as a group to go and win more titles? The fact that Man City, you're both so good, there's nothing in it.
Yeah, I think we've pushed each other, you know, and City have pushed each other for a number of years. But you've got to give them credit. They're a fantastic side with a world-class manager. It's always going to be tough, but we've given our best every single season. You know, kept pushing, and we'll just continue to do that. You know, and hopefully we can... keep winning trophies, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
Keep just concentrating. All you can concentrate on is performance. You know, just concentrate on performance level and what we can control. Go out there and perform every single game.
Yeah.
And if we do that, then we'll have a good chance of picking up silverware along the way. But of course, you know, when you lose finals, you don't quite get over the line.
Mm.
It does give you that desire and motivation to make sure you go and put it right the next season. And we'll definitely feel that going into this one.
Quick fire questions, Jordan. Favourite goal you scored?
Stamford Bridge away, actually.
Decent finish.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah.
Long range. Against Courtois.
Yeah,
not a bad keeper. So that I'd go Chelsea away.
You do tend to score belters, what one moment of your career, I think I know the answer is, would you go back and relive if you could?
Champions League final.
Without doubt. This is a good one. If you could play alongside anyone in your career, who would it be?
Ooh.
Past or present?
Kevin
Phillips as a Sunderland man.
he was the local hero at the time, to be fair. Yeah. I said Gazza before. I'll go with Gazza.
Yeah,
North East as well. Yeah. Suppose, but the wrong side, I suppose. But no, I'd go Gazza. Just what a player, and everything. So I'd go with him.
Me too. I played with him in a testimonial. I was like a big kid. If you had to bet your life on someone to score a penalty, who would take it?
Millie.
the main man. Yeah. Definitely, he'd look after you. Well, from the player that walked through the doors at 20 years of age, you know, to the captain of Liverpool, captain of England. It's been a great ride, and I'm sure there's going to be many, many, many exciting times. Hopefully the World Cup will be for me. But listen, you've been brilliant, mate. Thank you for talking to us.
Cheers, Joe.
And I'll see you soon.
Thank you. BT Sport Pods.